Hey, has lichen sclerosis messed with your relationships? You know, partner, family, friends, even at work? Then you need to join us at the Holistic Healing Summit this May 13th to the 17th, because we're bringing all the experts. We're going to be talking about intimacy, sex, as well as how do you talk to your family, friends, provider, boss? All of those things. And this is a free event, live, virtually, so you can catch it anywhere in the world, May 13th to the 17th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. We've got sessions going on all day. Get more information at lssupportnetwork.org/WHS. That's lssupportnetwork.org/WHS.
Hey, welcome. Thank you for coming to listen to the Lichen Sclerosis Podcast. My name is Kathy, and this is our journal of learning about and living with lichen sclerosis. I have lichen sclerosis, and after 7 years of being misdiagnosed, getting no real answers, and finding a lack of information, I decided to start this podcast. And each week, I research or talk to someone about an aspect of lichen sclerosis and bring you the information so you don't have to go searching. And I tell you how it's affected my life. I bring you the straight talk without the medical jargon. This week, we had the first ever Lichen Sclerosis Podcast virtual meetup, and it was so much fun. If you were not there, you completely missed out. We had amazing ladies from Canada and all over the United States who came together, and we talked about LS, we talked about sex, we talked about medication. It was amazing. So make sure you don't miss out on the next one. Right now, we're going to have these every second Saturday of the month. And so the next one is on December the 12th at 2 p.m. Eastern. If that doesn't work for you, do not fret. Make sure you sign up and let me know what time works for you, because I'm willing to move the time around to accommodate as many people as possible. And right now, that's what works. So make sure you go to lichensclerosispodcast.com/connect, sign up for updates and information so you can be at the next Lichen Sclerosis Podcast virtual meetup. So like I said, we did talk about sex, and boy, oh boy, did we unpack some stuff. So first off, 88% of us at the meeting, we're not having sex. Shocking. Now, I've covered studies before that said that women with lichen sclerosis were having less sex and less pleasurable sex. And I'm actually going to cover that again, because unfortunately, it's the only study that I could find. But anyway, back to the topic at hand. We ain't having sex, ladies, and we got to find out why so we can change it and start having the sex again, okay? Because the sex is good. Can I get an amen? As we talked about sex and started to unpack it, we came across the fact that we all have low libidos. Even the one lady who was having sex said her libido was low. And of course, if you have a low libido, you're not going to want to be having the sex. So that's what we're going to talk about today, is libido. What's going on with our libido and how can we change it? Now, I do want to preface this, that this episode is for ladies who are not having major symptoms like labial fusion across the vestibule, which is your vagina opening. It's not for ladies who are suffering from vaginismus or severe vulvodynia, which is pain of the vulva. This is for those of us with minor to slightly moderate LS who might be able to have sex, but something is stopping us. For the ladies who this episode is not for, I am working to find a specialist because just researching, I'm clearly not certified to speak on your situation. That goes way beyond my pay grade. And I completely respect your positions, and I would never intrude my opinion in something like that. So I just wanted to say that beforehand. So what is libido? Libido is our sex drive. Libido is our desire to have the sex. And all of the experts tend to agree that generally, because there are some hornballs out there, generally our sex drive fluctuates and changes as we age. So when we're teenagers or in our 20s, you know, and someone we're attracted to gives us half a look, we are like a raging river of lust and just ready to just rip their clothes off. Whereas when we get into our 30s and our 40s, we start to, you know, relax a little bit. We still, you know, we still enjoy the sex. We still want the sex, but we're not ready to just rip everyone's clothes off when they give us a half a look. And the general thinking is as we age, the desire for sex tends to start going down so we can have it less and less. According to menopause.org, women's libidos start to lower around their late 40s and their late 50s. There's theories that because as we age, we get out of the quote-unquote childbearing years, our libido goes down because there's less of a reproductive need to have sex. Same thing when you get in a relationship. In the beginning, you are all over each other. You just pass by each other. You feel the electricity and you just want to jump on your person. But as you go through the years together, your libido can go up and down depending on the season of the relationship. Sometimes when you're having issues and you're stressed, your libido is going to go down. But when things are good and you are feeling amazing, your libido is going to go up. So libidos always fluctuate. And when you have a chronic illness, especially one that affects your genitals, you're going to have libido issues to the point where your libido might just get as dry as the Sahara Desert. There are also outside factors that can affect our libido, such as medications. Medication like birth control, antipsychotics, antidepressants, and opioids all have side effects that lower our libidos. But LS affects our libidos in completely different ways. The study that I mentioned earlier is a 2014 study that was in the Journal of Women's Health, and it was conducted by the University of Michigan Health Center. It's titled The Impact of Vulvar Lichen Sclerosis on Sexual Dysfunction. And what they did was study 335 women who came to the gynecological clinic, and they grouped them into three groups. One group had 197 women with biopsy-confirmed lichen sclerosis. The second group was 95 women who were quote-unquote healthy, and 43 women who suffered from vulvovaginal candidiasis, or what's also known as yeast infections. The average age of these women were 35, and they were all mostly married. What they concluded was that the women with LS had less frequent sex than the women who were healthy or the women who had the yeast infections. And when they did have sex, they reported having less pleasurable sex. I'm going to have a link to that study in the show notes. There's going to be a lot of resources today in this episode, and all of them are going to be in the episode show notes on the website at lichensclerosispodcast.com/libido. So as the group and I talked, we dove a little bit deeper into the subject of lower libidos. And we contemplated if our lack of desire was hormonal or if it was mental. And so I decided to look into this further. Now, I did my own unscientific research by polling my IG followers. The first question that I asked them was if LS affected their libido. I got 47 responses, and I want to shout out to all of the ladies who did respond to my story, because without you, this would not be possible. So if you're following me on IG, definitely keep track of the stories so that you can be part of my unscientific results. So back to the poll. I had 47 responses and 39 of them said, yes, lichen sclerosis has affected their libido. 8 of them said no. That's a lot. That's 82%. 82% of us. That goes along with my findings at the virtual meetup. So this is something we really need to talk about. So the two factors I looked into were hormonal and mental on what can be causing our lower libido. So let's tackle hormones first. Hormones definitely affect your libido. The levels of progesterone, estrogen, and testosterone will determine if you have a high libido versus a low libido or just a medium libido. Any kind of imbalance of these hormones are going to reduce your sex drive. And just a lack of testosterone, period, is going to affect your libido. As I mentioned before, as we age, these levels change. And as we get older and we get out of that quote unquote baby making stage, our testosterone levels start to dip, as well as our estrogen, and we have a lower libido. There's some research that says lichen sclerosis is hormonal. I believe this at least on some part. There's definitely hormones that affect our lichen sclerosis. I don't know if it causes it, but I definitely believe there are some hormones that can trigger flares or can affect our symptoms. And even one of the ladies in our group, and I've seen this before in other groups, said that she flares according to her monthly period. So for her, she only gets relief during the week when she has her period. When she's between ovulation and the start of her period, she flares, which is awful. So there's definitely something going on with the hormones. What those hormones are, I don't know. And unfortunately, I couldn't find any research on that. That would be a good place for them to start researching for hormones, lichen sclerosis, and libido, if there's any researchers listening. So the other side of the lack of libido that we came upon was the mental side. And going back to my IG poll, I then asked those ladies who said yes, lichen sclerosis had affected their libido, to tell me if they were affected hormonally or mentally. And for that question, I got 26 responses. 14 said mental, 11 said both, and 1 said hormonal. So clearly, there is a huge mental component to our lack of libido. And it all stems from our subconscious. Our subconscious mind is in control of 90 to 95% of what our body does. We are only conscious of what we're doing, of what our body is doing, about 5 to 10% of the time. The subconscious controls all of your body functions without you even thinking about it. I mean, our breathing, our heart rate, our digestion, all of that is controlled subconsciously by our mind. And it not only controls our body functions, It's there to protect us from anything that it perceives as a threat. So when we have an experience and we feel pain or hurt, subconsciously, that situation is logged in as a danger. And from then on, whenever we're in a similar situation, our subconscious goes to that program. Okay, this is danger. All alarm bells. We got to do something. That's when that fight or flight trigger comes on. But before that, our subconscious has a way of reducing the chances that we're going to be put into that situation. For example, when I decided I was going to have a lifestyle change, I started exercising. Mind you, I'm over 200 pounds. I never exercised a day in my life outside of gym class when I was in high school, like 10 years previous. And I started off small. I started by walking. I had a track at the school in the back of my house. So I said, okay, I'm going to walk for 1 hour, 3 times a week, and that's going to be my exercise. I started walking. And let me tell you, after about a half an hour, my legs started getting wobbly. I started getting out of breath because I was walking at a pretty good speed. I wasn't running or jogging, but I was walking enough to get my heart rate up. And I was sweating and I started feeling like, oh my God, I cannot walk anymore. That was my subconscious making my body feel like, okay, we need to stop this because this is not good. This is danger zone. We need to get out of this situation. But it wasn't a danger zone. It was just that my body was not accustomed to being in this situation. It was not accustomed to my heart rate being this high for so long. It was not accustomed to me exerting this much energy for so long. So it was manifesting in its way of saying, okay, we need to stop. And then it started sending signals. You can't keep going. You need to stop. You need to slow down. You need to go home and relax. All of these subconscious thoughts start coming up to my consciousness to make me stop exercising, to make me quit walking and just go home. But I was determined. So I consciously kept going. I consciously kept pushing myself and saying, no, I'm going to do this hour. I'm going to walk in this hour no matter what. And guess what? I did. And I lived. And the next time I went out to that track, I did it again. And I did it again. And I did it again. And every time I did it, it got easier and easier because my subconscious then was starting to learn, okay, we're not going to die. We're not about to die. We're not in danger. We can do this. So I'm going to help regulate her heartbeat. I'm going to help for her legs not to be so wobbly. I'm going to help her not have headaches. And it started regulating my system so that I could do that. And our subconscious is affecting our libido in the same exact way. So the ladies at our meetup, they said fear. Fear was their number one reason they were not having sex. And fear is how the subconscious keeps us alive. By saying, no, you're afraid, don't do that. But we got to push through. They were afraid of tearing. They were afraid it was going to be painful. And they were afraid it was going to cause them to flare. Not only was fear mentioned in the virtual meetup, it was mentioned a lot of times in my IG question. They said they were afraid that they were never going to be able to have sex. They were afraid of the pain. All of these are understandable, especially if we look to the subconscious. Because if we have pain during sex, even if it was a little bit, your subconscious is saying, okay, next time we have sex, guess what? There's going to be pain. I'm not going to let my person be in pain, so we're just not going to have sex. I'm going to lower the libido so there's less desire and less chance that we're going to have sex. So what can we do to reprogram our subconsciousness and increase our libido and have sex or have more sex? I've got 5 things we can do. Number one, don't try to figure this out by yourself. Isolation is the friend of the subconsciousness. If you have a group of people that are telling you it's possible, you can do this, you can overcome this, you can get through this. Look at me, this is what I've done. You have to listen to the many versus the one subconsciousness that's saying, no, we can't do this. Nope, we're not going to do that. Nope, that's bad. Get out of that situation. So get in a group. Let the voices of that group overcome that voice of your subconsciousness. I mean, go and sign up at lichensclerosispodcast.com/connect and join us. Join us and find your group. We're going to continue working on this. I'm determined that we are going to have sex again. We're going to get our libidos up. And even if we ain't having sex 2-3 times a week, we're going to have it at least once a month. Because we are sexual beings. I mean, we're young women in the group. The medium age was in their 30s. We are sexual creatures. And we're going to have sex, damn it. So don't try to figure this out by yourself. Get you a group. Number two, be real about how you feel. You can't change what you don't acknowledge. So be real. If you're afraid sex is going to hurt, acknowledge it. If you're afraid it's going to set off a flare, acknowledge it. If you're afraid that you're not going to be able to have sex anymore, acknowledge it. You can't change what you do not acknowledge. Number three, imagine the worst. What is the worst that can happen? Okay? What's the worst thing that having sex can do to you? You got it in your brain? Now I want you to look and think about, how would you deal with it? How are you going to get over it? How are you going to rectify that? What if the worst thing that can happen is going to start off a flare? Okay, if you have a flare, what are you going to do? You're going to take care of the flare. And you should have a plan for how you take care of your flares, right? So you're just going to go through your plan. You're going to be uncomfortable for a day or two. If your fear is that your partner won't be able to penetrate you, okay. If your partner can't penetrate you, what are you going to do? You're going to go about doing the things you need in order for you to create space so they can enter you. Whether that's using dilators or vibrators, whatever your protocol is. So imagine the worst thing that can happen and then imagine what you're going to do to alleviate that situation. Then there's nothing to fear because you know what you're going to do. And if the worst doesn't happen, you can easily take care of it because you have a plan for the worst thing that can happen. Number three, practice self-care. What I mean by that is take care of yourself. In this situation, as far as our libido, if you're not having sex at all, then practicing self-care can mean masturbating, getting to know where your pleasure spots are, where your not so pleasure spots are, what hurts and what feels good, so that you know and you can communicate that to your partner. But not only that, as you're masturbating, as you're getting to know your new body, you can start pushing the limits a little bit. And maybe, just maybe, where you're feeling that pain is the subconsciousness kind of creating those little pain points to make you stop. Just like when I was exercising, the wobbly legs, the racing heartbeat, the headaches, all of those things were there to make me stop. So maybe when you're masturbating and you feel like, oh, that stings, oh, that burns, maybe, just maybe, those are triggers from your subconsciousness to make you stop. So I want you to just push yourself just a little bit. And every time you go and masturbate, push yourself just a little bit more. And maybe to get to the point where it doesn't hurt anymore. Now, if you know you got a fissure there, if you know you have a tear there, then obviously that's going to bring pain. But if there is no physical reason for there to be pain there, push yourself a little bit. I don't want you to hurt yourself, because then that's just going to reinforce your subconsciousness. But just push yourself a little bit. Don't just stay in the comfortable zone. You got to push your subconscious out of its safe zone. It's like, if you've seen the movie Croods, it's about this caveman family who they let fear dominate their lives. That was the way they stayed safe, was they did nothing out of fear. If they were afraid of it, they stayed away from it. It kept them safe. But eventually they had to work through that fear in order for them to survive, in order for them to get to a new place. And we have to do the same thing. We've got to get out of our comfort zone. We've got to not let our subconscious stop us, because we're going to end up where we are now, not having sex and giving up on being a sexual being. Which leads to number 4, face your fears and train your brain to stop the fear response. So if you're afraid sex is going to hurt, use a dilator or a vibrator to see how penetration feels. Get your vulva and your subconscious used to the fact that there is something entering it. And if it doesn't hurt, tell yourself, this feels good. Have positive emotions towards the action. Enjoy yourself. And this is going to let your subconscious know, this is good. We're not afraid of this. We want more of this. And then your libido is going to start going up. And if you're afraid that you're going to tear, practice using plenty of lubrication and a vibrator and seeing what you can tolerate. Test the limits. Don't just stay in your safe zone. Test the limits. See what kind of motion you can take, where you can take. Where is the safe zone? Where is the caution zone? Where is the do not do that zone? Or better yet, have your partner do it and you walk them through it. You talk them through it so they can physically see, okay, this is good. This is I need to be more careful on. And this is a no-no. And I guarantee you, the more you guys do that together, the more your libido is going to go up. Because you're going to enjoy it. Always have those positive, reinforcing thoughts of, this is good. Yeah, I like this. I'm having fun. And your subconscious is now going to switch that action from fear to pleasure. And if you're afraid that you're just not going to have sex, you're just not going to be able to have sex, do all the things. Do everything. Start with the dilators and work your way up to a vibrator and the lube. Definitely use plenty of lube. And always, always, always in everything that you do, positive, fun thoughts. Enjoy yourself. Lastly, number 5, look at the evidence. Don't go by what you're feeling, but look at the evidence. After each session, look at the results. What happened? What did you do? How do you feel? What happened afterwards? Did you tear? Did you flare? Were you able to penetrate? Are you in pain? Okay, if those things happened and you dealt with them, how did you deal with them? How long did it take? Was it that bad? And then you can see, okay, this is how I'm going to do it better next time. This is what I'm going to do differently so that I can get a better result. And then make sure you decide when you're going to do it next time. Don't let it be like, okay, I did it today and I'll do it again sometime. No, because guess what? Your subconscious is going to make you forget about it and you're never going to go back to it. Set it in stone. I'm going to do it again within a week, within 2 weeks. I'm going to do it again on the 13th. I'm going to do it again on the 15th. Give yourself a solid time frame or a solid date. Because if not, you're not going to do it again. Especially if there was any kind of discomfort or pain. And talk to your partner. Communicate. Let them know what the highlights were. Let them know what you need to work on. What needs more attention. Both good and bad. Because they're not mind readers. And they need to do the same thing for you. They need to tell you what they enjoyed and what was an issue for them or what they want to work on more, what they had a hard time with. Have these conversations and have fun with them. Don't make them a test where they have to give you the right answers or you have to give the right answers. Have fun with it. Be playful. And together, commit to a time frame when you're going to go and try it again. Because if you don't, you're not going to do it. And you're going to look up and it's going to be 2-3 months down the line. And you're like, oh, we haven't fooled around, or I haven't masturbated, or we haven't had sex. And here it's been 2-3 months. Oh, well, I'll get to it again eventually. No. Keep a calendar. Put a reminder in your phone. Do something that is going to let you know, hey, it's time. We got to work on our libido. Get it done. So let's review. In order to reprogram our subconsciousness and to start getting our libido back, we got to, number one, don't do it by ourselves. Join a group. Get some friends. Talk to somebody. Number two, be real about how you feel. Don't try to sugarcoat it. Be objective and be honest about how you're feeling, because if you don't, you can't change it. You got to acknowledge it so you can change it. Number three, practice self-care, whether that's masturbating or just feeling yourself or looking. You got to practice self-care and make yourself feel better and start working on making positive experiences. Number four, face your fears and train your brain to stop the fear response. What's the worst that can happen? Okay, this is the worst. This is how I'm going to deal with it. Now, let's do it. Enjoy yourself. Number five, look at the evidence. We did it. What happened? Let's talk about it. Let's deal with it. Let's talk about the good, the bad. What can we do differently? Pick a date, pick a time frame, and do it again. That's it. And just keep repeating steps 2-5 and keep talking to your people from step one. Hell, let them know when you're going to be doing this so they can keep you accountable. Let them know your time frame. Make them part of the process. Like I said, come join us on the virtual meetup, lichensclerosispodcast.com/connect. We are going to be working on this. We are going to do this. Let us be your people. Come hold us accountable. We got you. So I want you to let me know, do you have a low libido? Would you say your lack of libido is hormonal or mental? If it's mental, are you going to start using these steps to start retraining your subconsciousness? Let me know. You can DM me on Instagram at Lichen Sclerosis Podcast. Message me on Facebook at Lichen Sclerosis Support Network, or shoot me an email, Kathy with a K at lichensclerosispodcast.com. I really hope you got something out of this week's episode, because I want us all to be back to being sexual beings. So that's all for this week. Don't forget, next week will be the last episode before I go on break. And I will be back on February the 5th, 2021. Make sure that you're subscribed so that way you can be notified as soon as I get back. Also, I'm serious. Go out there, sign up for the virtual meetup. lichensclerosispodcast.com/connect. Even if you don't come to the next one, you're signed up and you get updates and notifications, because I will still be having them even though I'm not producing the podcast. We're going to have one in December. We're going to have one in January, and you don't want to miss it. Next one is going to be December 12th at 2 p.m. So sign up. Find your peoples. Lastly, I wanted to let you know the podcast is available on, of course, your podcatchers, but is also available on YouTube and on your smart speakers. So if it's easier for you to listen there, definitely go subscribe to my YouTube channel, Lichen Sclerosis Podcast, and follow me there. All right, lovely. I hope you have an amazing week, and I will talk to you next time. Bye.